Bible and turn with me to the 73rd Psalm. We're going to continue our series of lessons from this particular psalm. If you remember, several weeks ago we began this series and we looked at the problem that this man identified of Asaph had. This man looked out at those that were living wickedly and he was envious of them. And this man said that he had almost stumbled and that his feet had nearly slipped. Then this man was able to get a foothold and able to hold on. And then we talked about that he began to change his thinking from that which was carnal to spiritual thinking. Then last Lord's Day evening, we talked about the fact that when he went into the sanctuary of God in verse 17, that he understood the end. So this Lord's Day evening, we want to talk about this man as he is on trial, as he begins to understand. I want you to note that when he first looked at individuals, when he saw the people, he was envious of them. But after he went into the sanctuary of God, he learned several things. The first thing I think that we can identify tonight is he learned that the Lord reigns. Open your Bible there to the 73rd Psalm and look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. I want us to first see that this man begins to recognize that God reigns on high. When he went into the sanctuary, he learned that God is over all the affairs of men. When you look at verse 18, notice here now, instead of him being in the slippery place, he recognizes that it's really the wicked who are in the slippery place. Those who are living contrary to God, those who are living a life of idolatry, those that are opposed to God, he said they have been set in the slippery place. He begins to realize that his foothold and that his thinking and the fact that he went to the sanctuary of God gives him an understanding that those that are wicked, that he talked about in the very beginning of the 73rd Psalm that he was envious of, now he's no longer envious because he sees that God reigns. Look again at what he said. He said in verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. One cannot observe that word thou. One cannot help but recognize that God allowed the wicked to be in such a place. But then if you take your Bible, look it back up at verse 10. In verse 10, notice the statement, therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. I want you to think about God is over all. And by this we understand that God permits certain things to happen, yet he still has control and power. One can look in the Revelation letter and you'll see that God is ruling, that God is sovereign, that God is on his throne. And though there was a great persecution going on, God was still in control. But that brings up the second thought. Look again at that word, slippery places. And notice why that man changed the way he thought about it. When he looked out at those that were wicked, instead of being envious of them and desiring to join them, this man changed his opinion because he saw that the place that they are in is a place that is temporary. The psalmist saw the same thing that Moses saw, and that is, they only enjoy the things for a short season. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter. And in the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter, you'll find that sin is for a short season and then comes to an end. In Hebrews chapter 11, look if you will at verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to what? Enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I want you to take note, my friend, that at this particular time, that he is writing to them, and he says to the people, look, it's only going to last for a short time. That the longest period that one could enjoy sin is for a lifetime. And James 4 said, that's brief. He said, your life is but a vapor. And then in Job 14, Job said, man who is born of woman, that his days are few and full of trouble. And so for just a brief moment, you can go back and see people that were in slippery places. Here is Pharaoh at one time over the land of Egypt, and he has the Israelites as his captives, as his slaves. But how long did that last? It didn't last very long for the Pharaoh until another one died and rose up. And you remember 400 years they were in slavery, but how many pharaohs enjoyed having them as slaves? Then look at Babylon. Where is she now? At one time, she was a powerhouse. She would come down and she would destroy the cities of Judah. They would overtake Jerusalem. They would bring the people back captive. But where's Babylon now? You know where Babylon is? Babylon's Iraq. And I'll tell you, she's in shambles. And then you can go to the Roman Empire. What happened to the Roman power? It became destroyed from within. By their own iniquity and sin, the Roman power fell. And then, not too many years ago, you remember a man identified as Hitler. Where is he now? He's dead. He fell. And you know what we see is that God allowed the ones to be in these places, and it was only for a season. It was temporary. But that brings up a third thought. Have you ever thought that God appears to be sleeping? And think about that. This man says when God is awake, but I want you to know that God does not sleep. In the 121st Psalm and in Psalm 2, those two occasions, they say, God does not sleep. God does not slumber. Remember, God is a spirit. God doesn't need physical rest like you and I. But he lets things, as we talked about this morning, continue. And how many times do people cry out to God, why don't you wake up? Do you know what all is going down here on earth? And it appears that God is sleeping. And yet, my friend, God knows all that is happening. But that brings up a fourth thing. And this kind of goes in with what we talked about this morning. Why does God allow things to happen? And we need to come face to face with certain things as to why God appears to be asleep and allows certain things to happen. First, God allows things to happen in order that sin might be revealed as it is. Have you ever thought, my friend, that sin needs to be revealed? Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the first chapter. And Brother Rick has done a good job Wednesday evening bringing out some things from the Roman letter. But I'd like you to look at verse 24. In Romans 1 and verse 24, he said, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Then drop down to verse 32. Here's individuals who knew the righteous judgment of God and that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You know what he's saying? We need to see sin as it really is. If you let man drink long enough, man will become drunk and he'll get drunk on sin. If you look at this nation, how long can she remain drunk on sin and stand? You ever seen a drunk stagger? You know what happens after a while? A drunk can't stand anymore. If he becomes too intoxicated, that man will fall. That man will not be able to stand. And I'll tell you what a lot of people are. They are intoxicated on sin. And I'll tell you, my friend, anyone who's intoxicated on sin will stagger and fall. But God is still God. But bring up another thought. Have you ever thought that God can use these things to discipline people? Notice that at this time, his people had gone after idols and were living it up in sin. And God's desire is that they would return to him. Notice in the Hebrew letter and the 12th chapter, it says that God disciplines those that He loves, like a father disciplines his child. Now, there's a difference between what we talked about this morning, saying that every time something bad happens, it's a punishment. There's a difference between punishment and discipline. But I want you to think about discipline that God gives His people to keep us living in a way that gives Him glory. But that brings up a third thing. Have you ever thought, my friend, that God allows some things to happen to display His greatness? Has there ever been a power to rise and overthrow God? You read any of history, sacred or secular, and you'll find that all nations fail, but God still stands, and He always will. In Daniel 2 and verse 44, it says His kingdom will stand. That is a kingdom that's been established forever in verse 44. He said, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. But that brings up something else. When God awakes. Now notice back in the 73rd Psalm, the psalmist says a picture of God awakening. What does he see? He sees a terrible thing. Look at what he says. In the 73rd Psalm, look at what the terrible opinion, the low opinion he has of the people. He said, "You shall despise their image." The ungodly man who seems so great in the early part of the psalm now looks terrible in the eyes of God, but not only in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of this man. Have you ever noticed the more you grow spiritually, things that one time you accepted now looks terrible. Things one time you may have even participated in, now you look at it and you say, "I can't believe I did that." Well, why? You've grown spiritually. And you know what this man has finally come to understand? That those individuals that he was envious of, he weren't worthy of being envious. Those individuals are lost. And he says, when I begin to understand their end, when I begin to see what's going to happen to them, he said, they are in the slippery place. And he says, they are going to be destroyed. They will be consumed. He is recognizing that when judgment comes, they will be lost. You know what I like about this psalm is you start to see the man's eyes open. He's beginning to understand. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, I hope that you begin to understand what sin is. It's not something to be jealous of or envious of. But sin is that which separates us from God. And what we need to do is remove it so we can have a relationship with God. And if you need to come, we pray.